With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we're back. I had a number of people tell me that in August 8th, that the election on August 8th, they went to vote and they were told you already voted. And this is exactly the type of thing I think that they know they cannot win an honest and open election. So people need to, and also they're stealing now the signs. They're stealing the signs. We had one stretch of in Geauga County from along Route 87 from Route 306 to the polo fields, just a matter of a couple, maybe 3 miles or maybe four at the most. They stole over 20 signs. Not only did they steal the vote no signs, they replaced them with vote yes on this death here.
Right.
And so I'm going to give you folks out there, if they've been stealing your sign, and I know a lot of people have been telling me, yeah, they got my sign too. What I want you to do is that this is the Attorney General David Yost. They need to hear from you. They really do. I'll give you two numbers. The one number is an 800 number. This is the Attorney General, David Yost. 1-800-282-0515. 1-800-282-0515. His other number, this is his Toledo office, is 419-245-2550. 419-245-2550. Now, they need to hear from you because they can send out a letter to the sheriff's offices, the sheriff's departments, and telling them this is a situation you need to keep an eye out for this. We catch a couple of them and prosecute. That could carry as much as 6 months in jail. That'll stop them. We're tired of this. And as long as people allow this. Now, here's the other thing, folks, about the vote, the election security. Again, they cannot win a fair election. So they're going to, the only way they can win this in Ohio is they've got to do something. There's got to be election fraud. So here is Frank LaRose. He's the Ohio Secretary of State. Now, if you're concerned, like I am, about these voting machines and the integrity of them, I would call him. Here's his number and say, tell him you're concerned. 614-466-2655. 614-466-2655. One thing we have in our favor here is that the governor, Mike DeWine, and is on our side. He is totally, and he's come out and openly spoken against this issue one, that it is virtually, well, like we tell you, he hasn't come out and said it's right from the pit of hell, but that's where it's from. And so, anyhow, with that, we're going
Can I make an impassionate plea to black people that are listening? And I'm finding out there are more that's going on.
It's about time you do something important.
What I found out in Ohio is that for every black woman, there are 6 white women. And yet black people comprise 40% of all abortions. Yeah. That is reprehensible. It's shameful. It's anything you could think of. But people need to know that. And that these people that are coming out and talking about women's rights, well, you guys know in church, one of my favorite things to say is that the first sin on earth was a woman's right to choose.
Right.
And she made her choice. Mm-hmm. And it was a choice to sin. That was the first sin committed on earth. The first one in heaven was the devil, if anybody wants to know the first one, period. But my point is that this is a huge issue for minority people. But at the same time, it's presented like these people are going to have back alley abortions and all of this sort of thing.
That's exactly what this this Ohio initiative done, this issue one, it does. It totally misrepresents.
That's exactly right. It's a total lie. Because right now, for those of you that have been scammed by the women's reproductive rights, first off,
League of Women Voters.
Right now, you can abort a baby in Ohio for up to 21 weeks, and there's probably a few hundred thousand people walking around here that gestated that long, and they were born preemies. And I've got two nieces that like fit into that whole thing, and they're both like college age now. And so what I'm saying is that nobody's trying to stop women from having sex. Nobody's stopping women from having babies. And there are alternative solutions. But the truth of the matter is that, and nobody's trying to take any of this away, by the way. So the truth and reality is that it was not this whole thing about hampering anything that was going on already. I mean, I think that's not the best thing. But the truth is they want to take it out to 9 months. They want to take it out where there's no parental consent involved in anything, where there's no ramifications for an adult person influencing a minor or kid at any age about becoming transgender, about having an abortion, in any of these things. And then we're calling this in the name of women's reproductive rights. We still need to put these people in jail. We still need to deal with these doctors who are giving these drugs, and they're not telling them the truth about the fact that the truth is, after having the surgery, within 5 years, one out of three of these people commit suicide, which means that the happy medium didn't happen and that it did not work. Let me take a look.
Well, you know, it's not a surgery. It's they're killing it.
Well, I called it cutting and pasting.
And so what happens is these young women that kill their babies are seven times more likely to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. Seven times
see,
more likely.
See, and that's the abortion. But I'm just saying the ones that successfully do it, that then you get one out of three. That they commit suicide because there was no rainbow at the end. You know, there was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Excuse me.
You know, why is it like if you're a man today and you feel like you're a woman, you can be a woman for a while, you know. And why is it that if these women just can't feel like they're not pregnant, that they won't be pregnant, right? I mean. They just feel like they're not? I mean, if they could feel like they're men, they become men, right?
That's, yeah. Okay. Well, what if somebody felt like an orange?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's how ridiculous this is.
Yes.
You can say, I feel like I'm an orange.
Have you ever wondered how an orange feels?
Yeah, yes, yeah. I do, but it might not feel, but I know how they peel.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No. All right.
Okay.
There you go. Now, what we're going to do, first we're going to play this clip. And then we come back, we're going to get into what I just handed you. So we'll be back right after this.
All eyes have been focused on the war between Israel and Hamas this week, rightly so. But Republican Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has not taken his eye off of what he alleges is the potential COVID cover-up dating back to February of 2020. Here he is last night on Fox Business. Let's watch.
From the very beginning, Anthony Fauci knew he was involved with funding this lab, and he did everything possible. It's throughout our government. Eight different agencies in our government are covering up their support for this lab in Wuhan. It's ongoing as we speak. Even though we've had a unanimous Congress declassify the information, I have classified, unclassified information that's being withheld from me to this day. But we have evidence, yes, that they were dishonest, that Anthony Fauci lied in hearings to me, which is a felony.
Paul didn't stop there, saying the former head of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases will be taken down. Take a look.
We now have emails that show him saying that he knew it was gain of function, that the virus looked manipulated, and that he was worried that this came from the Wuhan lab. February 1st of 2020. Then he spent the last 3 years saying nothing to see here. We also know that there was a safety committee that should have reviewed this. And we know that Anthony Fauci went around the safety committee. The safety committee set up in place to make sure this wouldn't happen never saw the Wuhan funding because Anthony Fauci allowed the funding to go around the safety committee. This is a bombshell revelation, and this will eventually bring down Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Fauci has denied Paul's allegations on multiple instances. Rand Paul has a new book, Deception, the Great COVID Cover-Up, that's coming out, I think, I think today, I think is its debut, or yesterday or tomorrow, sometime, sometime around then. You know, Rand Paul has been, he's a doctor himself, so he has been on Fauci from the start. There were those well-publicized hearings where he grilled Fauci about gain-of-function research. And I think, you know, as time and time has gone on, Senator Paul has come off better and better, as we've seen some, you know, many of those emails and more information has come out that contradicts Fauci's assertions that, oh, you know, we were you know, fairly investigating both claims, when you can see from the early messages that he was very worried that it looked manufactured in a lab. And then quickly, this totally contrary consensus comes together based on the scientists he handpicked to look at the issue. And then stronger language in the claims being assigned to the final document that emerged in Nature magazine, where they basically close the door on the potential for it to have been a lab leak. And it's been, you know, this is an important issue because it has to do with we were still funding this kind of stuff. I think they finally put an end to it. But what we also saw, what I recall from Fauci's deposition on this, is that even when Barack Obama put a pause on this kind of research in place, Dr. Fauci was still able to get around it because there were some exceptions granted, and he was able to personally sign off on exceptions to do research that he later couldn't recall. He said, well, I'm sure these papers crossed my desk, but I'm, you know, not quite sure if I signed them or someone else did. That is just, should just be tremendously worrisome given everything that happened, the massive scale of the death toll. The issue is not completely solved, don't mistake me. It could still have been an animal origin. We don't have definitive evidence one way or the other. But I think we should have a lot of skepticism that our government health scientists, our bureaucracy, was fairly adjudicating both claims, given how culpable they were in the event of it being a lab leak.
I mean, one thing that struck me from listening to Rand Paul there is that it does seem like the focus is still on, he said, this could be the end of Anthony Fauci, something to that effect. What does that mean at this point? And why does it still feel like the focus isn't, you know, these revelations should change and result in a change in American policy that would prevent another pandemic, and still so much on the Fauci angle of it?
You know, we're going to stop it there because Fauci, you know, we told you a long time ago, several years ago, about Fauci. Fauci he's Joseph Mengele. Fauci is a Joseph Mengele. Fauci experimented on a lot of children. They found just recently, not that long ago, they found a large cemetery in New York of the bodies of these children that were taken from their parents by socialist services, okay, the so-called Children's Protective. And if the parents refused to allow the children to be experimented on, they took them and they put them in with foster parents that would allow it, or they took them. And so Fauci is a Joseph Mengele. He is, and you know, it's an interesting thing because not only that, but he did the experiments on with the puppies and kittens, where he took puppies, cut their vocal cords, had them strapped down, and had them in with fleas, and over a long time, as the fleas, they watched them. Is the fleas would eat these puppies alive, and then those animals, these beasts, these animals that call themselves doctors, they're animals. They're worse than animals. And anyhow, they killed the puppies. You know, after they killed the children, they killed the puppies. These people are evil to the core. The problem of it is, you know, they've got NBC, ABC, no matter how wicked, how evil, how ungodly, no matter what they do, you've got the so-called mainstream media out there that will cover up their crime for them. That's what they're there for. They call it a narrative. They will lie no matter what it is, and they will deceive you. And the American people out there just have not, you know, it's just they can't get in their head that there are people that are this evil, even though it's slapping them in the face every day. And so
everybody's thinking that the ethereal, they won't do that, not realizing that they are doing it right now in front
that
of your face.
That can't happen in America, where it's been happening. We've been reporting on it for years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little Lisa, go ahead.
Okay, speaking of social workers, An Ohio social worker has been arrested for molesting the 13-year-old boy that she was counseling. Peyton Shires, age 24, has been charged with one count of sexual conduct with a minor. The incidents are said to have taken place in September, shortly after she received her social work license in June. The boy's mom told police she saw text messages between him and Shires. Court records say that in the text, Shires asked the boy if he deleted videos and if his mom had seen the videos or their messages, WCMH reported. After reading the text, the mother was concerned. She gave the phone to the investigators, and when they searched it, they say they found a video of Shires and the boy engaging in sex acts, WSYX reported. Police said the boy told them they had engaged in sex acts at least twice. And on a call with investigators and the boy's mom, police say Shires admitted to engaging in sexual acts with the boy, according to WBNS.
Here's how things have changed since the 1950s and 60s. When I was a kid, like this kid here, had that happened, you wouldn't, you know, with a young, like there's a picture of that woman. She's very, very pretty.
Yes, she is. That's right.
Right. That happened to a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy, you wouldn't have heard anything about it because
right.
It wouldn't be considered, they considered you could not rape a child, a boy, okay?
A boy, that's
you
right.
Couldn't, mm-hmm. You know, so anyhow, his buddies would be patting him on the back.
That's right.
Even some of the men would say, wow, he really scored with her.
Yeah.
But what has happened because of this change, more and more of these young women felt, hey, you know what? They're not going to prosecute me. So more and more of them are going after these young boys, okay? But now things have changed. Everything is different. So now they are going after these women. But, of course, they don't get anywhere near the, you know, the punishment that the men get for the same crimes today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
well, can we stand some good news?
Yes.
Here we go. Countries that have banned cell phones in schools now include England. Who will be next? A study published a few months ago concluded that excessive use of cell phones could shorten kids' lives. Congratulations to England for banning cell phones, all cell phones in the classroom. It's time for schools to put children's learning first. And according to the 2023 UN report, 1 in 7 countries banned the use of mobile phones in schools. Governments have banned cell phones in schools due to the impact on children's learning ranges. It says the press release by England Department for Education, mobile phones used to be banned in schools in England. Mobile phones used to be banned during the school day, including break time, using new guidelines. And it also says here that the move will bring England in line with other countries who have already implemented a ban, including France, Italy, Portugal. It follows warnings that the United Nations of the risk of smartphones in schools, and government data found that a third, 29% of school pupils reportedly banned cell phones because they were being used in most and if not all lessons. If schools fail to implement the new guidelines, the government will consider using statutory measures. The guidance will set limits exempt and will have some exemptions, including medical use. So I think that's just a great thing that, like, they're fine. Maybe America ought to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what America is doing here in America. The largest teachers union, the NEA, they want to ban students because
yeah.
They don't feel that they should have to work to get paid. Now, AOC, AOC, says that people don't want to work, they shouldn't have to, and those that do want to work should support those that don't want to work, okay? And that is the mindset of the left. But those teachers' unions, they really don't care too much for the children, do they?
No.
Well, no.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. I mean, think about this. And that 67% of all public school teachers send their kids to private schools,
mm-hmm.
which ought to take
yes.
something. I mean, I know that, Pastor, you were a pioneer in homeschooling and all of that stuff. And it's interesting that, like I said, 2/3 of the teachers that teach in public school send their kids to private school, which ought to tell you something.
Yes.
Hamas issues statement to Gaza residents following warning of impending Israeli invasion. Well, I think they're moving in. Do not evacuate from areas about to be targeted. So here they're telling them, you stay there and die, right? That's what Allah wants you to do, okay? Hamas understands that it must present itself as the victor and victim in the war against Israel. See, one thing about these Hamas leaders, they're willing to sacrifice all the children and the women, especially. Not so much the soldiers, but women and children, they're willing to sacrifice. On Saturday, Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, stormed across the border into Israel, murdered 900 innocent, raped women, beheaded bodies, burned children, killed Israeli soldiers, and cut off their heads. The evil barbarians targeted a music concert where they murdered 260 young adults, raped young women, and took dozens of captives back to Gaza. In response, Israel announced they will invade Gaza, eradicate the Hamas demons. This prompted Hamas and the Islamic Jihad to order Palestinians in Gaza to stay put. They want more Palestinians to die to further their cause. You know why? Because the mainstream media, that's how they want to play. And already CNN, the mainstream media is already going all the way over. They know that Western media will prop them up. They need to be portrayed as victims in the media.
That's sad.
Yes.
That really, really is. And I mean, to me, don't you think it's reprehensible that they killed the babies? But the Israelis have said that they will definitely retaliate. That's mm-hmm. the one thing.
They have to, because mm-hmm. this is...
Yeah.
But this thing is not going to be over with quickly. This is the... Iran is, you know, behind this, and Russia is supporting Iran. And so this is... And by the way, you know... Mark Milley, general, he just recently resigned. He got out quick. He wanted to get out before if Trump gets back in. Now, here's a guy that betrayed, as far as I'm concerned, he committed high treason. He betrayed President Trump, betrayed America. Here's a guy that did whatever he could to weaken our troops. I mean, instead of, you know, intelligence that we should have had, no, he was more interested in having a certain quota amount of drag queens and making sure
that's
that drag
right.
queens were on the bases and having, yes. and then they wonder yes. why they were having such a hard time recruiting soldiers. Okay, and Austin is just as bad.
Oh yeah,
and I kind of really believe that Millie was a closet drag queen.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. so that, yes. that's very very true. But yes. you know, you always talk about people on the left. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Israel has its problems, too. This guy's name is Ofer Kassif, an Israeli lawmaker told Al Jazeera on Saturday that his party had been warned that Israeli policies towards Palestinians would erupt into the violence that Israel is experiencing now. We condemn and oppose any assault on innocent citizens, but in contrast to the Israeli government, that means we also oppose any assault on Palestinian civilians as well. We must analyze this terrible incident, the attacks, in the right context, and that is the ongoing occupation, said Kassif, who is Jewish. We have been warning time and time again, everything is going to erupt, and everybody's going to pay a price, and mainly innocent civilians on both sides. Unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened. Since the Israeli government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came into power at the end of December 2022, violence against the Palestinians has been significant, mainly due to an escalation of Israeli raids on the West Bank, settler attacks, and Netanyahu's governing coalition. He says Kassif also urged that for the de-escalation of the Israeli military, writing that those calling for the destruction of Gaza are only encouraging another bloodbath. He strongly denounced the Hamas assault, called the actions horrible crimes that men must not tolerate, but he also urges patience for the Hamas.
Okay, you can look, there's going to be, especially down south in the warmer states, and look for in the same old places, Portland, Seattle, you're going to see more and more of these riots caused, you know, these pro-Hamas riots, these pro-Hezbollah. You're going to see these college students. They're going to be coming out. And, of course, burn, loot, and murder is going to be on in there. Antifa will be involved. And this is why we got to get Trump back in. The other thing, too, is more and more states are going after counties are going after tactical civics. They're signing up. Tactical civics is a way to take our country back.
Can we plug them now?
Yeah, I plug them.
Okay. Then basically, we've talked a lot about tactical civics. It is a way of taking back our government. And basically, it's via the militia and the grand jury and the grand jury route. It only costs $5 a month to join, and it's very, very simple. I did it Monday, and if I can do it online, then anybody can do it. At least it did also.
No. Okay.
But anyway, it's something that we really need to do, and everybody in every county can do it. And Geauga County has one that's like up and coming. I live in Cuyahoga, and we really need to have one, period. I don't know that we don't, but I think it's important. And I'm asking everybody here, all you got to do is go to tacticalcivics.org, and you're there. And believe you me, it is.
I think it's tacticalcelivics.com.
It's .com?
Yes,
okay.
.com.
Okay,
yes.
Then .com, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And does the Constitution, the Second Amendment, demand that we have a standing militia?
Yeah, it does. It does. You'll find out a lot about it. And what I liked about it was that when you join, you end up in the national organization, but then the links all go local. The links go local, so you end up going to the county you live in.
Okay, so now tomorrow in Geauga County, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, they're going to have at Sages, and I don't have the address. Do you have the address?
But at Sages is where the
apples. On 44.
It's right on 44, yeah.
And by the sheriff's department.
And they have an apple orchard that's probably 50 acres. You can't miss it.
Well, it's not at the apple orchard. It's a different place there, but it's Sages, okay? It's a different building, but
it's all there though, right along that property.
44, yeah.
Yeah, right along that property.
So, their main apple orchard's on Route 6.
Oh. Yeah, but there is one there on 44.
All righty.
Of some trees.
You're definitely no Johnny Appleseed. Anyhow, there you go. So, I got to tell you this here. Do you know what Cash Patel said? Well, in the Gateway Pundit, by the way, this is in the Gateway Pundit. I keep forgetting to tell people where we get our articles because they call. But what do we do when we have at the church, when we have these meetings, when we have tactical civic meeting? We have thousands of articles. The people are always asking us, do you have that article? Do you have that article? We don't have time to go through them all. But we put the articles out, okay? And they can come and go, and we even allow them to take as many articles as they want, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Lisa wanted to be a commander in the militia. The problem of it is you got to weigh over 100 pounds, Lisa. You got to weigh over 100 pounds.
Well, I still got my Glock 19 semi-auto pistol.
Yeah, well, you need to have bullets for that, too.
Yeah, I got those, too.
We'd let you have the... What? You got bullets?
Yeah, lots of them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, lots of ammo.
Uh-oh. When the other folks in the church find out, there's going to be a problem.
And I know how to use it.
Because they asked me, you didn't give her any bullets, did you? Oh, gee. Remember Barney Fife?
Oh.
Okay, Andy only gave him one or two bullets. Oh, man. Okay, now she's got the cat out of the bag.
Joe Biden sold them to the black market.
Oh.
That's why there are no bullets.
Yeah, but at least I know how to use it. I don't know if Joe Biden would know how to use one.
All righty. Cass Patel says this. Instead of analyzing how the world's supreme intelligence agencies and superpowers missed Hamas' attack on Israel, the media is sensationalizing it. It's actually... That's the scary part. It's not a miss. It's a deliberate act of weaponization of the Biden regime of our national security apparatus. I knew that. Okay. The intelligence community, like our national command authority, is directed by one thing, the commander-in-chief. So whether you grow its size is a red herring. When you reorient thousands of career individuals trained to detect prospects of war who have been less personalized in capacity of detecting a threatening environment, it's simple. There is only so much money, machines, and manning to direct against our enemies. I know firsthand, during the Trump administration, our national intelligence priorities were foreign terrorist organizations and defeating nuclear Iran. We had specific cells, groups, and the IC detected against groups like Hamas and Iran. They were top-tier priorities. President Trump made this simple. By defeating our enemies will always be the top priority in the national defense arsenal. We used all the options. This is a good article, so we're going to a break. I'm going to pick it up on the other side. A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all you've done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
She said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above, how they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. How great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them. tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
All right, tell mom and dad about Jesus, and well, you could tell that was my voice, and the other voice, believe it or not, that was Randy. That's the way he sounds when he sings. Kind of strange, isn't it? It's actually kind of spooky. It's scary right now.
Oh,
no, I was only kidding you. It's really not Randy. He can't sing that good, believe me.
And you were going to finish that article? You were?
That was little Samantha Daner. Okay. Yeah, I want to finish this article real quick, and then I'm going to take a call. And our co-host here is Clifford, is in the air. The National Intelligence Priorities Framework is the bulwark of our national security efforts. What is the NIPF? Simply defined, amongst the multi-tier threat analysis, each, while the House has changed with the duty of prioritizing the greatest threats to the United States and our allies in the Trump administration, was this, simply, AQ ISIS and the foreign terrorist organizations were top priorities. Each year, the White House creates a new rack and stack with NIPF. For example, during Biden's year, climate change was the top priority. But don't believe me. His DOD, Department of Defense, and CONOP, Conception of Operations, mandate that that's DOD's rudder, was climate change, not terrorists, not the Chinese Communist Party, not Iran, not the cartels, no, sir, like we did during Trump's term, but the weather. So there's your critical intelligence failure by Biden's desire to weaponize the intelligence for political narrative purpose. It was intentional. That's the difference between Trump and Biden. Now the world sees what happens to you. Well, they did want to go after some people. They branded us American patriots. People that voted for Donald Trump, Christians, as populists, as terrorists. So he wanted to go after us, didn't he?
That's right.
All righty. We have, there he is in the air. We'll go with Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hi, Randy.
How you doing?
Yeah. Before I get to my question, which is the last verse of Psalm 87, a couple of things. Also, a good song is The Upper Room by Hillsong, which has a harp in it. Very nice song. You mentioned The Upper Room. Also, on the ginger, on Google Scholar, it says that it can kill cancer cells for someone that's getting chemo for liver or pancreatic cancer. It can work and to kill additional cancer cells. So that was interesting. That's on Google Scholar. But also an update on the Sergeant Reports podcast, Les Batch. I'd recommend The Killing Fields with Scott Skelra, a very good presentation by him, and The Kill Grid with Deborah Tavares and Todd Callender. People need to study that. There's, Deborah Tavares has a Stop the Crime website, but it's really technical as to this 5G, how it's hidden. While the so-called lockdown was happening, so-called pandemic, how they hid all these 5G tiny things in, like, air conditioners, all these different spots all over the place, like schools, and just what is this 5G all about, and how much radiation damage or can be done by that. So, that's something that needs a lot of study, that particular episode.
Well, the 5G is supposed to activate the nanobots that they have injected in you with the poisonous pokes. And that is what that's supposed to be. Now, from what they're saying is that, and we've done a number of programs, we've had a number of scientists out here talking about this. So what that's going to do, it's going to end up eliminating, I mean, they're going along with a depopulation program. A number of people that have got the poisonous pokes are going to, as scheduled, be killed off, okay? Others, they'll just become very, very sick or whatever, but that's what's happening. There's,
yeah.
Everything they do, and this Fauci, like I said, is Dr. Mengele, okay? And, you know, Mengele, when he left Germany, when he went to South America, he ended up changing his name and working as an abortionist, so they caught up with him, okay?
Well, there's a book by this guy Giordano, who's funded by the World Economic Forum. Of course, that's Klaus Schwab and company, and they're already using 6G. And there's a chapter in his new book called "Altering the Human Being," where they're openly admitting that they're using 5G and 6G, that type of, I guess, radiation or whatever you want to call it, to alter the human brain. They're using it now to try to control what you think, and they're admitting even, for instance, in Havana in 2016 when they had that incident, they're admitting that that was true and that that was real, where they actually can determine your thoughts now, and that people thought they were hearing voices or angels or whatever, and they were called quacks. But that goes back as far as 2016, that they were doing those types of experiments. And this guy Giordano had addressed West Point not that long ago, in 2022, as a matter of fact, and they have fully implemented the program.
Yep.
They fully implemented it.
All right, very good. Let me answer your second question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that word spring. What do you think? I'd like to say my opinion. I think it's a personalized spring that represents, like, the personal presence of the Lord to an individual. That's my opinion on that.
Well, what are springs? They're springs. They're sources of life-sustaining waters. That's what they're always referred to that. And so what they're doing here, they're comparing their sources of life-sustaining waters to all of the writer's sources of joy and satisfaction, which he could find only in the place of God's dwelling. That's where he says. And it's as well as the singers, as the players on instruments shall be there. And that's in the places of God's dwelling. And all my springs are in thee. And that means everlasting life. But I got to move on. Let me see. We've got Jack in San Diego, and then we got to go to Pastor Hal because that'll be the last two. Jack, you're in the air.
So
hello, Jack.
A lot of speculation about World War II that FDR ignored the intelligence and allowed Pearl Harbor to happen to get us in the war and to save Europe.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a lot of speculation that happened. Yeah, in fact, a lot of your, after they retired, your big army brass as much as said so.
I bring it up because it's not believable that the United States and Israel missed the intelligence on this attack. I've heard estimates that it was planned anywhere from 3 months to 2 years. That Iran was involved in the planning and the financing. There would have been a lot of chatter. You had over 1,000 young men that were invaders. They're not going to keep that secret. They had to be trained. You know they're going to tell their families, and then they're going to get on their phones and talk, and there'd be a lot of chatter. It all would have been picked up. So what's the motive? I think the motive is this is going to be their excuse to attack Iran and knock out their nuclear facilities. My fear is that in order to do that, since these facilities are buried so deep, even beyond the capacity of a bunker buster, that Israel is going to have to use tactical nuclear weapons. And if that's the case, then Putin's going to use tactical nuclear weapons, as he's threatened. And Putin has also given warning that he's going to leave the nuclear test ban treaty. And I've always maintained that these weapons, these nukes, have been sitting around for 50 years. And if you're going to use one, you'd want to test a couple first.
I hear you. Well, I agree with everything you just said. I, you know, that's It's like they're starting this war on purpose. So
I think they had the intelligence, but
Yeah, they did. Listen, they're constantly watching every move. You know, they can read a label on a pack of cigarettes from a satellite. They knew exactly where these people were, who they were, and what they were going to. They watched them all the time. They're doing the same thing here in America. You've got many, many jihadist training camps. We sent out a bunch of DVDs a while back. It's been a little while. And in there, they took you right into these jihadist training camps here in America. And the FBI knows what they're there. And they're just, they don't, because they're working hand in hand with the Communist Party.
Well, here's the problem. Joe Biden and his regime, you really don't know whose side he's on.
Yeah, I do know whose side he's on. It's not ours.
That's what makes this so complicated.
He's working for it.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay. I'll let Timothy in for just... Timothy, you got about 2 minutes.
All right, I'll just be brief. I did a deep dive on that Zechariah 13:8-9 that we talked about the other night. Thanks for bringing it up. I'm glad to have read the verses on the air. And I delved into it more, Romans 9 and all the various other references that you can on true Israel versus non-true Israel. And point well taken is all I'm telling you. So now I'm on the same page.
Well, if people understood that, Timothy, if they understood that, do you think there would be so much anti-Semitism? But here's the other thing people have to understand, okay? Why do you think all through history, for 6,000 years of history, God has brought the hammer down on Israel time after time? I mean, he has really brought harsh judgments on Israel. Was it because Israel was obeying God or Israel was disobeying God?
Oh, well, they're disobeying because he says he chastises the ones he loves in the Bible.
And that's exactly what Israel is doing today.
If the apple of his eye, then he's going to chastise them. And if you're not being chastised, you have to wonder if you are his.
I can tell you this. God is not pleased with America or Israel. He is not pleased with America.
Let me just say one more thing is that also, too, it says in Matthew that you're either for me or against me. And so pretty much other than Joshua, where you have to choose each day who you're going to serve, when you look into Matthew and you decide you're either for me or against me, I mean, it's real simple, basic stuff. It's not a complicated vernacular, and there's no stuttering or repeating.
You got it,
my friend.
He says
what he means, and he means what he says.
Absolutely. Thanks. I got to move on, though. How much time do I have? How much? I didn't hear you. Okay. Hal, you've got 6 minutes, Hal. I'll give you the warning when we get down to a minute.
Okay, you know, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Then it says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, of supplication, for they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the tribulation period, after they take a horrible beating from the Antichrist, they're going to realize the Antichrist wasn't who he thought he was, because their mystic book called the Zohar, it was written around the second century, it convinced them that their Messiah was going to come out of the ground, not from heaven, but out of the ground. And that's exactly the path the Antichrist is going to come, according to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. So when the Antichrist comes, they're going to think it's the Messiah. And then it's going to lead to 7 years of complete horror for them. But yet, in Zechariah chapter 14, it's chapter 13, I'm sorry, it says that in that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for the sin and for uncleanness. And you know that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood flowing, you know, from Emmanuel's veins."
Mm-hmm.
Plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. And then it says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hand? And he shall answer, These are with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." So Israel will actually look at the wounds in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands, They'll realize he was the Messiah.
You bet they will.
Washed in the blood of Christ, and God's going to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I'm looking forward to that time, but, you know, that's going to be after the tribulation period. And at that time, born-again Christians will be up in heaven. Now, how do you get to heaven? Well, the Bible says you need to have your sins washed away. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That means when Jesus died on the cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you've ever done, Jew or Gentile. But now that payment don't become yours automatically. You've got to go to God and say, God, you know, I confess I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. That's repentance. The Bible says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. And then after repenting, you accept the payment Jesus paid for you on the cross. It was a free gift, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. When you go to God and admit to God, you know I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell. And I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay the payment for my sins. That righteous payment that had to be paid, he paid in my place in full. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart and give me that payment. Pray that to God right now. He hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. He's coming back again someday at the end of the tribulation period. But you could die tonight, and you don't want to die without having that blood atonement received by you. And so ask Jesus right now. Let's pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I confess unto you that I'm a sinner, and I need my sins washed away. I need eternal life. I need the payment Jesus paid for me on that cross. I believe he was the Savior of Israel, Savior of mankind, the Messiah. And right now, Lord God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and give to me the payment you paid in my place on that cross. The Bible says, folks, in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to call is to pray. Ask him to come into your heart and give to you that free payment, that free gift that he paid for you. It was free to you. He did all the work. And because God loves you, he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven. He says your sins can't come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes place the very moment you go humbly to him and confess your sinful soul to him and ask him to come into your heart and give you eternal life.
1 minute.
He wants to. So 1 John 5:13, I always tell people, if you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, the 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on meant that you personally received him as your Savior. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. To know means not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that means 100% certain. And then it says that you have. You realize that's a present tense verb? That means the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he gives you eternal life. That means if you pray tonight, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Savior, he gives you eternal life, and nobody can ever take that away from you. And you know, when God makes you a promise, that's how you can know it. So if you prayed that prayer, admit you can't save yourself and your church can't save you, your good works can't save you, only Jesus can save you, and you prayed and asked him to come into your heart as your Savior, and he did it, that means I'll see you in heaven someday, and glory to God for it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Very good. We are out of time for tonight. And when Lisa went to the bathroom, Randy put a snake in her purse. Lisa, no. Anyhow, that'll give her something to think about on the way home. All righty. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.